talk to you about worms. Worm composting is pretty easy. Worms can freeze, so you can't do it really somewhere outside here. And I don't know how cold everybody's garage is or isn't. Mine is pretty comfortable and warm. It's got insulation on it. I have, we call it a crawl space down in our walkout basement, but it's not, you open a door and you walk into it, so that's where I keep my worms. Yeah, if you've got a husband who's kind of freaked out about some of those things, it might be tricky.
Yeah, I sneak stuff in. He doesn't know that.
Oh, good.
He doesn't know that Kleenex is supposed to.
So the worm bin has to be in a place where they're going to be comfortable. Yeah. One of the things about it, though, if it gets pretty cold, all the worms go to the inside and they go together and keep each other comfortable. So it's not in the winter times it gets a little cooler than what they might really like. They can usually still survive.
That's what I was.
What temperature is that?
I'm sorry, what?
Like if your garage is 50, is that
good? Oh, that's fine. That's what mine is.
Mine's a refrigerator. This year, half the year. So I just I use it for a refrigerator. I can buy lots of produce and just put it in my garage.
Okay.
This year, nothing. I don't think anything froze.
The temperature that is usually associated with worms, the worms don't like to get colder than 40 or hotter than 80. So they don't want to be in the hot place where outside in the summer is going to get sunshine on them all the time. They'll be really hot. So if you might want to do it, a garage is really a great spot, or some other place in your home that's not where you can just come out and fill. So how to begin? What's cool about worm composting is all the stuff just happens right there, really. I have two things going on this morning. This worm bin that I have from my crawl space, and to show you kind of what it looks like. And I'll leave it up here so that later on you can come and take a look at it. One of the things about it is that you need, if you'd like to set up a system in your home, I can show you how we're going to get started today. The whole deal is that this bin with the lid would be the one where the worms and all the activity happens, but moisture happens, it gets wet. So if you're going to start to make a bin, the bin that's going to go on the inside has to have holes in the bottom so that the liquid can drain out. All right, there we go. Enough to do. I almost got out my quarter-inch drill bit. I think it's a little bit big because the worms do go through the holes. So, and it's actually the worms do some of the work. The worms are actually eating what the bacteria leave behind. So you need to have holes, quite a few holes, because there'll be. And I see now, I've just been kind of randomly making these holes right here in the middle. This indented part is where I really ought to be making the holes, because that's the low end when the thing is turned over, right? Can you guys see? So I'm going to make some holes there too. So you just need a couple of bins that fit nest inside of each other. Make holes in the bottom of it. Donna brought these today. She said, I want you to make me a worm bin. I'm going to take it home.
It's a dinosaur. Previous life.
Recycle.
Be careful.
I'll tell you what. The bins that I have here on the bottom, when I was in the composting program in Denver, my friend Pat called me up and he said, hey, you want to do some vermicomposting? Because that wasn't really what I had been into yet. Because he said, they're throwing away these bins at Walmart. We need to get them because we need a lid and they need to nest inside of each other. Mm-hmm. And my bin in here for the worms already had holes and stuff in the bottom of it from Walmart. They were like, you know, so that anything, small little pieces, they were just, so they had two kinds of bins. Mm-hmm. One had holes and one didn't have holes. Like,
perfect.
Oh, let's go, we'll get them. So we got a whole bunch of other friends involved with doing the worms. Now, these were going to go in the trash. Like, hello, that's a really good option.
Trish, how does it compare to the worm bins that we sell?
How does this compare?
Yeah, you know, because they have the fancy layers and things like that.
Yeah, they have those fancy layers because I think they're really kind of trying to make it more appealing and easier for people. So that's like, well, what are you going to do? How do you clean it out and all of that? I've never owned one of those, so, but you have one.
Yeah, I had one in Florida. And it was nice, the bottom had a spigot on it, so you got the rich tea to water with, and then you would just, you would trade out, then the bottom one would be all composted stuff, and you would use that, and then put it on top, and then start putting the scraps in the top,
and the worms would
come up, yeah.
Yeah. Because this method here involves a tricky part, like how are you going to harvest the good stuff and not kill too many worms? We'll get to that maybe in a little bit. One of the things, some bins like this nest kind of too tightly together, and it also can be a little bit hard if you want to lift the top one up. So now that we can't recycle all of our plastic things that maybe we used to, if you have four matching heights of cottage cheese containers or yogurt containers or something, just put them upside down in the bottom one. So take a cottage cheese container, put four or five of them in here so that it raises up this top bin, so that the top bin would probably be about this high. And then it's a little easier for you to remove the two bins from each other. So here we go for Donna. I think that's probably enough. Oh, I see you've got this attached. That's kind of handy. Did you do this already? Did you attach the lid today, or was
that
it
was
here?
That was in its previous life to keep it from
losing. And so it had a previous life, so she's reusing something that she had in the first place. So it's pretty handy. And I have just returned from a big vacation, so I said, Donna said, what do you need me to do? Can I help? I said, bring these two things and bring your kitchen waste, because I haven't been saving my kitchen waste because I've been on the road. So that's what this is. Save that for minutes. Okay, we got the holes, we got the bin. What do we do next? They have to have a home. They have to have a place where they're comfortable to live and procreate and eat all the food. So it's not just this, you have to, what do they call that? Their
habitat.
Sure. Oh, I don't want to do this either. First, I love leaves. Leaves are so wonderful. Leaves are gold. I need to get a bumper sticker for the back of my car that says, I break for leaf piles, because I do. So, couldn't put this in dry because the worms need moisture. So I put water in here this morning. I probably put in 2 quarts of water. So all of this dry leaves that I have. So I have a bag of leaves down that I keep down in the crawl space, kind of close to where I have them. So they need a place to live. And always the rule of thumb about composting is kind of make it about as wet as a wrung-out sponge. So I think these feel pretty good. I had no idea if this would be wet enough or not, but it is. Yes, you had a question?
Oh, can you use pine needles?
I don't know. I would think probably not so great.
So you wouldn't want very much.
They wouldn't absorb much,
yeah.
Right? I mean, worms have that little thing on the outside of them.
They don't like to rot.
Pine needles have turkey pine needles.
Do you need to crunch up those leaves or something?
They need to be damp and wet. And so my experience with different kinds of leaves is like those large cottonwood trees, those leaves have a heavy cuticle on them. They're the kind that when you crunch one in your hand, it sharpens and it's like, not my favorite kind of leaves. They're okay. But leaves kind of break up a lot by themselves. If they're really big, I would say it probably would be a good idea. But if they're dry, just smoosh them with your hand. So the whole idea here is when you're going to get your worm bin going, to have a place there where they can live. It doesn't have to be leaves, though. It could be paper. But if you're going to use paper, okay. I think colored paper is okay. It's usually the color of the ink that's kind of a problem.
Right.
I think that I'd maybe stay away from those if you can. Yeah, the black ink is a whole lot better for them. It's usually made out of soy. So I'd like to put some of this in here too. And I need to get it wet.
Come to my sink.
Come to your sink. So got it back.
Yeah.
Water in there and get it going.
He's saying use coffee because it'll stimulate
the worms. So a lot of people don't use leaves at all. They just use shredded paper. Part of one of the reasons why I like leaves is because they're so fluffy. And paper, even when it gets wet, it's kind of smushy. But I'm going to mix the two of them together in here.
Can I ask Julie a question?
No.
Yes, you can. That reminds me, because I always do all of my junk mail and bring it to the recycling center. Yeah. You can't use junk mail?
I probably could. I
especially
haven't.
If it was shredded.
Yeah, if it was shredded, it probably would work. Again, it's kind of the ink and some of the bleach, like Corning paper, is less than ideal. So, and then if there are any plastic bits from the envelopes and stuff like that, just in there. But it would probably break down just fine.
Would that work in this bin, Trish? Like paper towels and
yeah.
Do you want to get away?
Paper
from
towels
that?
For sure would go in here. Yeah. No problem there.
Coffee filters.
Coffee filters. Well, I've used coffee filters, and sometimes they don't really go much. They don't seem to go away much in this environment. They're probably easier for Julie to get composted because she has a whole different system. You know, it's all with all the bacteria and the air, and it's 140 degrees, and they're just like, yeah, okay, let's go. Let's eat this stuff up. You can put them in here, but I found that they just kind of come back out. And so I put them in the other compost outside because we've got like three or four different ways that we're composting in our house. So do I have everybody? Did I lose you yet? Okay, so two bins, holes in the bottom, something for them to live in, and then where do you get your worms? That's one of the really cool things about worm composting. You can get them from a friend who has worms. Before I put the food in, I'm gonna open up this other bin and lids. So the lid came with it. And so one of the things that I found with worm composting too is that it works better for me if I have this sheet of plastic on the top of it. They like to come up and they like to be in the dark. That's why you have a lid. And as soon as you open it up and they're exposed to light, they go, oh, they start going down there. And it's like, oh no, there's a light. Let's go down, 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 because it's dark down there. So I also do usually keep a piece of plastic in the worm box, just laying there. And it can be a bag. I'm not sure. Oh, this was a bag. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it smells good. I will leave this here so that everybody can see, but the whole idea is, and I always just, this is like, got donated from the kitchen 20 years ago, you know. So there's worms in here. I don't know, how should we do this? There's a lot of people.
You want to put it up on the table?
Well, I could. Well, the whole point is that I'm going to dig up some of this stuff that has worms in it. It's a good thing your husband's not here.
he likes snakes.
He likes snakes. Well, so there's a lot of worms in here. So if I go down to the point where there's a whole bunch of worms and they're all together and now they're going crazy, I want to share them with my friend.
And Katie says you're welcome to go out there if you want us to walk around.
Okay,
maybe
good.
At the end.
All right.
So we can all look at it.
Okay, sure. That's a good idea. So, you can also order worms online. So the kinds of worms that their nickname is that like to be in worm bins and do a job are called red wigglers. And I just started this bin kind of going somewhere about a month ago, and then I was gone for 2 weeks, so there's only so many worms that are in here. Usually, when I dig in, it's like, oh, at least you guys got to see some that were gone.
Is it true that you cut a worm in half and they'll create two worms, or is that a fallacy?
I don't know. I'm more of a compost worm.
But they do procreate quickly.
They do procreate quickly.
So you'll get more. You'll give away, Don.
You can cut them in seven.
And they'll go all to the spot where the food is.
No.
How fast do you? I never really pay attention. It takes a while. There's some stuff in here. There you go. How fast? It depends on what it is. Onion skins have a strong cuticle. They have a skin just like we have a skin, and it hasn't been damaged. Almost any kind of something that has a hard cuticle, like those big leaves from the cottonwood trees, they don't break down so fast because these are bacteria that are working on this stuff, and they don't have mouths. They don't have the ability to break stuff down. So if you damage the cuticle, then it helps. Or then there's stuff that just gets left behind. And there is definitely the avocado seed that I get lazy and I just throw them in there. My husband always like, oh, cut them off. So, and if you cut up the avocado seed, it'll go really fast. It'll say, oh, okay, because you've damaged the cuticle and you've opened it up and all that bacteria is like, oh, good, somebody opened the door for us.
How about orange rind and rind?
They're okay. You know, citrus, I don't know why, but citrus has a kind of a anti-something that you put into compost. What would you say that is? Citrus is hard.
Yeah, I think it just in a small system, it doesn't.
Yeah.
It doesn't break down. I think the worms maybe don't like that.
I think worms don't like a lot of citrus. But a bigger system like what Julie's got going, she doesn't have any problem with it. Or even a bin in your backyard. They're okay. I put them in because I only eat an orange every now and then. You know, so they're all right. So, start with a bin like that and talk to a friend who has some worms. And then... So one of the things about worm composting is you don't want the stuff to get too tall because it gets too heavy and it smashes them. And down at the bottom, it'll be all kind of stuck together like mud down there in the bottom. So my favorite worm bin that's at home is a 4 foot long one. And so if you have more square inches, then you can, it doesn't get so deep. Sorry, I have a lot of gray hair. Sometimes I have a hard time figuring out what word I want to come out of my mouth. even though I've got this worm bin and it's this size, I'm probably only gonna let it get another 2 inches deep or so before I wanna harvest all the good stuff. Because that heaviness, and they like air too, you know, they need a little bit of air in there, so it has to have the right kind of moisture, as a wrung out sponge, and the air to help them live their lives. They need some oxygen too. Let's see, so what do I do? Oh, so this is my, you want to bury the food. If you don't bury it, you're asking for fruit flies to come like crazy. But if you bury it when you're putting it in, it shouldn't be a problem. So it's kind of tricky how to do this demonstration. So one of the reasons why I like my bigger worm bin is too because it gives me more space to remember where I put the food the last time. Because that is kind of a... So what do we have in here? Anything that turns into a science experiment in your refrigerator. Yeah. If it could be moldy in the refrigerator and changing things. But the same as what Julie was seeing for her kind of composting. No meat, not cheese. I do sometimes have a little bit of leftover yogurt that can there just like already a science experiment. Mm-hmm. I'll put that in here. Sometimes people say no dairy, but I would say no cheese. Yogurt, maybe cottage cheese too, because it's kind of gooey and soft. They love gooey stuff. Man, when it's watermelon season or cantaloupe season, ooh, really good. But as you can imagine, the rind of the cantaloupe or the rind of the watermelon takes a little bit longer. So if you have that and you want to put it in here, chop it up a little bit. Mm-hmm. It takes an extra couple of minutes to whack it. You know, and then they'll like that part.
That helps with the citrus processor. Too, I think. Yeah, if you cut it up and, well, you know, I found in my non-critical mass compost bin that will, but I, you know, things need to be cut up.
Yeah, things do need to be cut up. So I have a thing, I have a wheel at home. Whenever I'm doing a thing with it, I have eggshell. I might not be the one that would cut up the artichoke heart for the avocado seed, but, and even these guys, if you can smash it or cut it a little bit, it helps, but it's not absolutely no wood. So thanks, Donna, for bringing your kitchen weight.
That's about a week's worth, so
and so there's a lot of coffee grounds and whatever else you had in there. So
tea bags.
Hold still. I'm gonna just
bag it on.
This one is third.
So I
just can't see sitting around doing.
Oh yeah, here we go. We were in our camper. My husband said, "Isn't that our garlic?" And I opened it up. It's like, well, it was garlic, but now it's garlic. but at my home, where we're saving things, this has worked super good for me. Little handle, easy to go. I usually has compost written on the top, and I got the compost and the chickens mixed up. It says chicken on the top. But because chickens can't eat everything, especially avocados, so we would kind of sort things out when we had chickens. So it's small, easy to do, and I like the lid. And what do I do with it? I put it right back in the refrigerator. It doesn't smell. So when I'm ready to take it downstairs and put it in my compost. So this was mint that was in the refrigerator, went all the way down to New Mexico and Arizona and came back with this. And this was left at home, parsley. And here we go. We had orange this morning. And I would say that it can also go in there. So my gift to you is a little bit more. So I think for now I'm just kind of going to leave these on top for if you can come in again. See what we have here that we dumped it, but you do want to bury it. And that's one reason why I have that spatula. I usually dig a little trench, put the food in, and cover it right back up. And they go, oh, yeah, yeah. And then I'll put this other piece of plastic on top of them to keep them happy. This was a surprise. It got left at home while we were on our 2-week trip. I thought, oh, I have some of that. No, I'm going to be using it. All of that stuff that would turn green in your refrigerator is super wonderful and welcome. So, let's see. Yeah.
What would be like a minimum amount of worms to start in a container this size?
A minimum amount of worms? I just gave Donna, there's probably 25 or 30 that went in there. At least, I would think maybe even more. I'm sort of surprised that there's not more worms in that bin, but But what I had was I had a friend gave me her bin, two bins together. She said, here, I have so many bins, I've got going. You know, I went some worms, take this bin. It was full, and it stunk because bad things were going on there. And so I introduced dry leaves into that situation to kind of dry it up. And started kind of moving things from one bin to the other to try to help the situation. Because when JC said, Donna said, can you come and talk about backyard composting? I really thought you meant backyard composting. This is sort of inside composting. It gets too hot in the summer and it gets too cold in the winter. And I hadn't been doing anything much with my worms. So I had to scramble. I had to like, call a friend, worms, and she gave me these like, bad. So that's... Mm-hmm.
So what so made them bad? I mean, because they were too full?
She was too full. It was just too full, and she was using only paper. I think that they like leaves a little bit better, just because it's fluffier, and they can kind of get around. So yeah, it was, it's a little bit smaller bin than these guys here, and it was like, whoa, this is pretty bad. But it was going crazy. There were a lot of worms in there. So I took a bunch of worms from there and put them in this one, and then I left town. So the worms are kind of nice because you can leave town. You don't have to really worry about it.
Mm-hmm. And you use garden variety worms, like, so that you have worms that you can give your husband fishing?
Probably not. Those guys out there live in a completely different environment because they can deal with the hot and the cold and they go down deep and all that. These red wigglers, and you can order them online and they come in a bag with a little bit of brown stuff and you open it up and there's like all these worms. Just put them in there.
So the extra worms shouldn't go in your garden. If you add extra worms, you know, like too many in here, and you don't want to give them to.
So they kind of regulate their population too, by the way. Mm-hmm. They die in there, and then the other worms eat them. And then they make more worms, and so the population kind of self-regulates. So if you were to buy a bag of worms and you didn't have a friend that you wanted to give the other half of it to, I'd put them all in your bin, and they'll kind of figure it out. But you could put them out there in your garden, but their life will be probably shortened because that's not the environment that they want.
So would you eventually build this up so much that it would go into the garden? Is the purpose not eventually to have soil for your garden?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Next is the more complicated part of how to live with worms. So when it gets to the point where you feel like almost everything has been eaten up, and you're kind of, what are we going to do with these guys? I want to get the good stuff out. It's definitely tricky.
Do you use the water as you're going?
I do.
So you do pull it up and get the water out.
So, it helps to be strong.
Trish, do you think we should go outside to see this part? Just so that everyone can stand around?
Sure, let's do that.
Okay. Good. And another question before we disband. How do you get the castings out? Like when we buy worm castings, how do they just get the castings from these guys?
That's what we're going to talk about.
It's light at this point.